Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a song from our songbook, and we'll be singing it here in a little bit. It is song number 556, if you would like to open your books to that song so you can follow along with some of the lyrics that we're going to be discussing today. And the song is entitled, There Is a Sea. And this song talks about two different bodies of water over in the land of Palestine, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And the song draws some spiritual applications based upon the characteristics of these two seas. And we're going to think about this morning. Maybe you've never had a sermon preached on Bible geography before, but this morning that's what we're going to look at and think about. But we want to start the lesson in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, where the grace of Jesus Christ is being discussed. This is a passage that we normally look at on giving. And in a lot of ways, this sermon is about giving because of the characteristics of these two seas. And we're going to think about that this morning. But 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus Christ gave up everything that he had to come to this earth and to live as a man, not to live as a king, not to live even as a member of the middle class, but to live into great poverty so that he might then give his life for us, that we might have salvation. He became poor so that we might be rich. Well, this song, There Is a Sea, illustrates this point. And it was written by Lula Klingman Zahn in 1921. So let's think about this particular song this morning as we think about the lyrics of this song and as we think about the message that is within it. First of all, we want to look at the first stanza. There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills and streams that spring from wells of God or fall from cedared hills. But what it thus receives, it gives with glad unsparing hand. A stream more wide with deeper tide flows on to lower land. Now, this particular stanza is about the Sea of Galilee. And it's talking about the fact that the Sea of Galilee receives water and then gives water. The Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake in northern Palestine. It is also known as the Sea of Kinneret, the Sea of Tiberias, and the Sea of Chinnereth. It is, as we mentioned, a freshwater lake, and it is located in North Israel and near Syria, just south of Mount Hermon. And so Mount Hermon is one of the great sources of fresh water for this lake. It is 13 miles long by 8 miles wide, and its deepest point is 141 feet. Its shore length is approximately 33 miles. The Jordan River flows into this sea from the north, and you can see up here where the Jordan River comes into it. You can see Mount Hermon is right up here, and there's a great watershed that comes from Mount Hermon that flows into this Hula Valley right here. And there's a lake called Lake Hula here, and all that water coming off of Mount Hermon, which is about a a 10,000-foot mountain. It has great snowfall on it, and that water comes down into the Hula Valley, and it all drains into the Sea of Galilee right here. And so this is a very beautiful area, and it's interesting, the geography of it. So as we mentioned, it's fed by the snow melt of Mount Hermon, and it receives about 500 million to 1 billion cubic meters of water annually. And unabated, the Sea of Galilee itself would release somewhere around 3 billion cubic meters of water annually. But right now, it's currently limited to about 50 million cubic meters because the Sea of Galilee is used by the nation of Israel as a freshwater drinking source. And so it doesn't give off nearly as much water as it used to, but it still is an impressive amount of water that is being given out. It has an abundance of living creatures within it. Of course, there's about 27 different species of fish that live in this fresh body of water. It has mussels and insects and all kinds of water life. And of course, birds come in and they're able to feed off of that water life. The lake itself is 700 feet below sea level, making it the lowest freshwater body in the world. It has a tremendous history, the Sea of Galilee does. And there's a tremendous amount of settlements that are populated around this sea or this lake. There were numerous settlements in New Testament times. You have the city of Capernaum, which Jesus called his home city. You have Tiberias, which was a Roman established city. You have Bethsaida, which was over in Syria, Chorazin, and many others. And many of these Jesus visited, and he preached the gospel in these cities during this time. Several of the apostles came from this area: Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And they were fishermen, and they made their living by fishing in this beautiful lake, the Sea of Galilee, as we call it. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, after they're bringing in a great draft of fishes into their boat, so much that even those two boats couldn't handle it, said these great and famous words to them: "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Those words were spoken along the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was the site of the great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This was the lake on which Jesus stilled the storm in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 through 27. And this was also the lake on which Jesus himself walked on the waters, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And so great spiritual life came from in and around the Sea of Galilee, just as this wonderful freshwater lake produced a tremendous amount of life and supported life, all kinds of living creatures within its waters, supported all kinds of insects and mussels, and supported the surrounding region of people, who many of whom lived from the produce that came from this wonderful lake. We see that spiritual life came from it as well, because this is the place that Jesus called home when he walked on the earth. But the emphasis of this song is to show that this is a great living sea or a great living lake, by demonstrating that what it receives in water, it also gives. It is constantly being refreshed by the snowmelt of Mount Hermon, and that water coming into this lake is a tremendous source of fresh water. But then that water stays fresh because there is a great outlet to this sea as well. The Jordan River, the lower Jordan River. And it actually gives more water going into the southern Jordan River when it's unabated than it receives from the north. And so it gives more than it receives. And because of that, it is able to sustain great life. And that's what the song is drawing our attention to regarding the Sea of Galilee. But there is a second sea that this song mentions in its chorus, and that is the Dead Sea. There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps, nor gives to shore nor sea beside. Its Jordan stream, now turned to brine, lies heavy as molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim, that sea is waste and dead. So the Dead Sea. Now let's think about the Dead Sea for a few more minutes. The Dead Sea is also known as the Salt Sea, the Sea of the Plain, or the East Sea. It is located in the southern part of Israel to the east and southeast of Jerusalem. And it is a saltwater lake. It is 1,292 feet below sea level, and its deepest point is about 1,300 feet. It is 53 miles long by 10 miles wide and has a shoreline of about 84 miles. The Jordan River puts in about 6 million tons of water every 24 hours. Now that is a lot of water going in to this Dead Sea. But this Dead Sea evaporates, and the evaporation leaves all of the solids that are in that water. It leaves them behind. And that means that this sea has a salt content of about 34%. Over one third of it is salt. That's 10 times the amount of salt that's in the ocean. You know, living things can thrive in the ocean where there's a little salt, but where there is this amount, no living thing can exist. And that's why it is called the Dead Sea. It is literally dead because of the amount of salts that are in this sea. Genesis chapter 14, verse 3 records some of the history surrounding this particular body of water. And instead of being a history of life, it has a history of great death. Genesis 14, 3 talks about a great battle that was fought where men died, were taken into captivity. In Genesis 19, we're told about the great sins of Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction that took place here. We see that it acted as the eastern border for Israel, and it was a hideout for David and his men when they were on the run from Saul according to 1 Samuel 23 and verse 29, there were very few, if any, settlements around the Dead Sea because it was just not a suitable place to live. It does not sustain life. It cannot sustain life. And that is because everything that it receives, it keeps. None of the water in the Dead Sea goes anywhere. There's no outlet for it. And because of that, it just collects and collects and collects all of the solids that are found in that water. All the fish that come into the Dead Sea from the Jordan River, and some of them do flow into this sea, they end up dying eventually, and they just contribute more to the death of this sea. The emphasis of the song on this particular sea is this: that while it receives more, it's bigger, it's grander, it receives more water than the Sea of Galilee does, but it does not have any outflow. It does not give anything. And for that reason, it turns to brine. And so nothing can live there. It becomes dead. Well, what is the great lesson that this song draws from these two seas? And that's the third stanza. What shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take to give again? For he who once was rich, indeed, laid all his glory down, that by his grace our ransomed race should share his wealth and crown. What's the great lesson from these two seas? The one sea receives and gives, and as a result, it has an abundance of life. The other sea receives but does not give, and it is dead. The metaphor is how we live our lives. If our life consists of just getting things and receiving things and never giving anything, we become selfish, greedy, miserable, depressed, and very lonely. But if our life consists of both receiving God's blessings and then using those blessings to bless others, to give to others, we will have the joy of enjoying the blessings that we receive, as well as the joy from seeing others benefit from those great blessings. And this is illustrated in this song beautifully by the life of Jesus Christ himself. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Just like Jesus, we need to be one who gives and gives and gives. And I'm not talking about just giving money, but giving of ourselves. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, even the death of the cross. He had everything, but he didn't hold it back for himself alone. He gave. He emptied himself. He gave everything that he had for us. Truly, as Acts 20 and verse 35 says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's the great lesson that we need to take away from this song. This isn't about giving money, although we need to give money to the Lord. It's about giving of our life, giving of our time, giving of our talents, giving of our abilities. And what the Lord has given to us, taking that and sharing it with others. Let's sing this song together, and I invite you to open your song books to song number 556. And we're going to sing this song. The tune may not be familiar to you, but do the best you can. And I'm going to lead this song, and we'll sing it as best we can here. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills and streams that spring from wells of God or fall from cedar hills. But what it thus receives, it gives, with glad unsparing hand. A stream more wide with deeper tide flows on to lower land. There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps nor gives to shore nor sea beside. It's Jordan stream, now turn to brine, lies heavy as molten lead, Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim that sea is waste and dead. What shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take again? For he who once was rich indeed, laid all his glory down, that by his grace our ransomed race should share his wealth and crown. Two great illustrations of giving. One that brings great life and joy and peace and love and grace to others' lives. The other that brings only death when we keep things for ourselves and ourselves alone. What kind of life will you choose to live this morning? A life that follows the path of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything up so that we might be rich? or a life that's going to just hoard to self and never share with anyone else? Are you the Sea of Galilee, or are you the Dead Sea? Which one will you be? Maybe this morning you realize that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ and become a great living sacrifice for Him. If you're not a Christian, you can become one this very hour through hearing the gospel and believing it, repenting your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. That is what Jesus has commanded you to do so that you can be a great living Christian. One who shares greatly with others, is not selfish, but lives life for the benefit of all. Do you need to become a Christian this morning? We invite you to do that right now, while together we stand and while we sing.